when we hear that shout and we meet you in the air and we look forward to that day when your foot touches down on that Mount of Olives and that gate does open and you rule and you reign. Lord, it's our heart's cry for your kingdom to come, for your will to be done on this earth. You are holy. You are worthy. Your truth. And we stand in awe of you, and we thank you, Lord, that we are your children, that you've called us into relationship with you. You've saved us, and you've given us eternal life. Thank you and praise you. And thank you, Lord, that while we are here watching and waiting, that you are teaching us, and we are learning, and we are growing. And so, Lord, thank you for these Wednesday evenings that we can be together and hear from you and hear from the truth of your word. And so, Lord, would you speak to our hearts tonight? And would you move among us and do that needed work in our hearts? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Good evening to each of you. Just want to remind you about our summer Bible studies. You can pick up a flyer, and we've started sign-ups. And so you can jump into a study this summer and continue to have fellowship and grow in your walks with the Lord. And then also, I don't think the flyers are out yet, but that T for Three is going to be starting up too. So listen on Sundays for the announcement for that. Tonight, our topic is called Seasons of Motherhood. This year, our theme is Issues of Life, and we've just been doing like topical studies of things that pertain to us as women. And, hopefully we've been encouraged through those and know that we all kind of go through the same things. And some of you, even from the beginning of the year, have asked for a message on parenting adult children. And so I'm doing this on seasons of motherhood. And it's not you can't turn to a passage and go 1, 2, 3 through it. It's more of a sharing tonight. Things that I have learned and that I see, it's hard for me because I'm not an expert at all as a mother. I'm not an expert on anything, but as a mother, when my children were small, I'm trying to figure it out as I'm going along, and then they got a little bigger and I didn't know how to do that either. So you're trying to figure it out as they go along, and you think that maybe it'll get easier as a mom, but yeah, you're already shaking your head. No, it doesn't. And you're still trying to figure out. So I'm still trying to figure out how to parent adult children because it's really different. And I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm just going to share a few things that I think the Lord wants me to share. And my purpose is that we will be encouraged through this. So, but if you have a Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, because we'll be in that passage a little later. But first, I have a few pictures for us tonight. So first, I want to just introduce my family to you. So there's that first picture. That was taken in 1978. We had 5 generations. That's the baby is my oldest daughter, Tyler, and she was about 6 weeks old. That's me, obviously, on the right. I was 18. My mom on the left with those really nice large glasses and the perm. She was 42. Her mom, my grandma, was 60. And then my great-grandma, Tyler's great-great-grandma, was 78, which is, you know, my great-grandma always looked that old. Isn't it funny how you look back in those old pictures and your grandparents, they always looked old. And now they don't look old. Except for that, maybe when our kids look back, then they'll all look old. But anyway, that is, I've been surrounded by girls. And then the next picture is more recent, but it's actually, I know Morgan's going to, not like this picture. As you can tell, that there's some in our family who like to pose a certain way. And so I'm in the middle. My mom is right in front of me. Morgan is right behind me. My sister is behind her. Behind her is Tyler, my oldest daughter. And then Ashley, my sister's oldest daughter. Samantha, her other daughter. And then the granddaughters, Tara, Vanessa, and Aimee. That was about 2 years ago. But we have been, that's good, thank you. We have been surrounded by girls, and I have probably, and you might want to argue with me, but probably the best mom in the whole world. She loved being a mom. She still loves being a mom. She loves being a grandma, and she loves being a great grandma, and she is very active in all of our lives. And she loved being a mom so much. I grew up wanting to be a mommy. That was my dream, just to be a mommy. I just loved being a mother. And I have been able to spend more time with my mom the last few years than I have in about 25 or so years. And it's been a huge blessing for both of us. We have had lots and lots, you know, we moved here 28 years ago, and I mean, that was devastating for her, you know, that we left. And so, you miss out on a lot. And I know that a lot of you don't have moms around anymore, and you're the oldest one in the family. And so I hope I don't stir up anything when I share a little bit about my family. But, the last couple of years, I've gotten to spend time with her, and we've had a lot of really good talks, because we've talked about the different seasons that there have been, where sometimes as mothers and children, you're closer to each other, you have a better relationship, and then you go through whatever we go through, and you're kind of not as close, and, you know, kind of comes and goes over the years. So it's been fun to see. And then, of course, the older I get, the more seasons I've been through, and you remember, because your kids are that age that you remember being that age and having the relationship with your mom, or, you know, all those interesting dynamics. And I have a friend, and we've talked about this before, and she said her and her mom are so close. And she said when she first got married, you know, she just was such a know-it-all, and she just treated her mother terribly. And then it wasn't until she's older now, and then her kids, and she goes back to her mom, "I'm sorry for the way that I treated you," even as an adult. Because, you know, you just don't know until you go through it. Then you look back. Then you know. So there's lots of ups and downs in all of our relationships, but including mothers and their children, and there's so many different seasons. And as our children grow, this, you know, the seasons change, of course. And my mom has, she's always said, you know, just when they're in a phase and you get that phase down and you get it all figured out and everything, and then they move into the next phase. And then it takes you a few years, you know, to get all that figured out, and then you finally get it figured out. And then, you know, it's ongoing. And that's the way it is for us as moms. It always changes. There's no magic age that your children get to, and then it's just like, okay, smooth sailing here. Because we're all people, and people change, and people grow, and people make choices, and it affects relationships. There's that season of diapers and nursing and taking care of that infant, that baby, that when you're in that season and it's the first time you've been in that season, it is just huge, isn't it? Where you just thought you don't have time to do anything because they're just consuming all of your time, and it's just, you have to do everything for this little tiny baby. You love it, but that's just a huge season for a new mommy. Now, of course, when I'm talking in general, because we're all different. We're all different personalities. We mother in so many different ways. So, again, I can only say from my experience. Then there's that season of the toddlers and the preschool years. And I don't know, as I was doing that, maybe you're doing that as I'm speaking, you kind of go back a little bit and you think about your little tiny babies and those little toddlers and preschoolers. And, oh, you know, my favorite age is those twos, threes, and fours. I just love, if I went to work in the children's ministry, that would be the ages. I just love it. They're sponges. They just soak in everything, and they love you so much. And, you know, you're teaching them. That's that season of you don't stop talking because you're teaching them, constantly giving out, giving out, giving out. Then you have the elementary school years, that season. And what a fun season that is. They're just kids. I love seeing kids be kids and having fun, don't you? It's just a blessing. And you know, I have grandchildren, and so they're pushing the teen years now. But it's just fun. It's just fun to be with them and watch them have fun. And then there are those teenage years, which I know for a lot of you, it's just the greatest time in the whole world, and that's great. It was hard. It was hard. It was emotional with two girls and, you know, one very emotional girl. And it just takes a lot out of you. Some of you were Christians, your whole life, and then you got married and had children. So you already had a really good foundation in knowing how to raise and train according to the Bible. You have a big head start. Big head start. Some of you, your kids were young, like me, when I came to the Lord. You had no clue as to what you're doing. You're a brand new Christian, so you're trying to figure all that out. And then you're trying to raise your kids. You don't know what you're doing at all. And then others of you, you know, your kids were a lot older when you came to know the Lord, and you didn't get to raise them in the Lord. There's so many variations. Then there's that season of when they are, you know, out of high school, going into college, they're leaving home, or they're going to get married. And that's a huge change for most moms. It's that empty nest thing. All of a sudden, I mean, you were washing clothes and making lunches and doing all of that. And then all of a sudden, you're not doing that anymore. And sometimes we can have a little identity crisis because I'm a mom. I don't know how to not be a mom. And for you as moms, you know that you don't know how to not be a mom, and we are still moms, and we can still be moms because that's what we do. So but at that time, it's that huge adjustment in our lives, and everybody is different, and every relationship is different. Over the years ago, I would hear older women talk about their relationship with their adult children and that kind of a thing. And oftentimes I would hear them say, I don't say a word. I'm just keeping the peace. I don't say a word. And I would always think, that's really sad. There's something in a relationship that's not right then if you can't say a word. And then it's almost like that's the law. Once they leave our house, we don't get to say a word, kind of a thing. But it varies from relationship. What kind of relationship do we have? Can we continue to speak into their life? Sometimes we can. Sometimes they let us. Sometimes they let us for a while, and sometimes then they just shut the door. And then you can't. You know, it's hard to be a mom, because you have to be sensitive to the Lord to try to figure all of these things out. I don't have it figured out yet. And just the time you get it figured out, something changes. Somebody changes, or I change, or whatever it might be. It's a big change of season for them, too, because, you know, they don't need mommy. They don't need that. My mother still will tell me to take a sweater because it's cold. She will tell me I'm doing too much, that I need to go to sleep. I mean, she's a mother. She has never stopped being a mother. And over the years, I didn't like it. And there are a lot of times I didn't like it. You know, don't tell me what to do. I can do my own thing because I'm a big girl now. I'm 32 or 40, whatever it might be. And you know, the last few years, I've just thought, you know what? Just let her be a mom. Let her be a mom. Okay, I'll take my sweater. Okay, mom. Thank you. You know, just that's who she is. And it's okay. So for those of you who are in that kind of a thing, you know what? It's okay. And your child will come around. But in those after high school years, and to me, I don't know, you may disagree with me, but I think the spiritual state of a heart begins to be revealed. Because while their children are in our homes, we are controlling the environment. And if it is a spiritual home, that's a wonderful thing. And we've poured into our kids' lives as much as possible. None of us are perfect. If we could do it all over again, we would do it a lot differently. By pouring more of the Lord and more of the Word into our children's lives. But they are influenced in that environment, in our home. And we are, as moms, we're the main influencers. And we, of course, need to raise and train our children in the ways of the Lord. At the same time, genetics and DNA are in there. We are all born with a sin nature. Our parents, Adam and Eve, sinned, and they passed that on to us. And that sin nature is in every single person, even our darling children. And in families, there is different tendencies in different families. We know that there's families that are prone to addiction, and there are families that are prone to something else, or, you know, there are those weaknesses in the gene pool that, while in a good environment, are being controlled, but we all have personal choice. And I think that is a huge thing for us as moms to try to grasp and try to realize, because we choose for our children. As we're raising them, we're choosing for them, and we know they have a free will and a choice. But why in the world would they choose anything different than what we're giving them in the Word of God? And yet, so many do. In the book of Kings, talks about all the, those kings, and there were only, I think, 8 good kings in the kingdom of Judah. Well, 2 of those kings, Joash and Josiah, they were both young boys, 7 and 8 years old, when they became king. So obviously they didn't rule, but they were, and they weren't raised by their natural parent, but they were raised by the priests, the spiritual men. They were surrounded by the things of the Lord. And both of them, I mean, they had instruction and guidance, and they both walked with the Lord. They both made very godly decisions. Joash, he did what was right while under the guidance and the influence of the priest. But once the priest died, Joash turned to other gods. And time revealed his heart. That influence was taken away. He chose, and he went the wrong way. Josiah, though, he not perfect at all, he continued to walk with the Lord all the days of his life. And it's just interesting. It is, just a minute. Okay, I don't know where that is. I'm going to get ahead of myself. As our children get older, they, of course, continue to change because they're people and they're growing. And if their heart is tender and toward the Lord, they're not going to be perfect, of course, but they're going to follow after that. But they're going to follow after the Lord. If there is a spiritual battle within that child, it is a choice that child makes. How many of you have prodigal children? Children that aren't walking with the Lord? Okay. That topic is really on my mind, so I don't want to go too far off. So I'm just going to pause and move on here. Then there's this season in our children's lives where they get married. Not all children, we know that, but a lot of them do. They get married, and now as a mom, you have another child because you have a son-in-law or a daughter-in-law because they're a part of your family. And so that is a huge change for us to love, to accept this person that I didn't raise and into our home and to treat them like a son or treat them like a daughter. And at that time, the husband or the wife of your child is now the primary influence in their lives. Now that can be really good if they are a godly, spiritual person. That's what we pray for. That's what we want for our children. But it can also be pretty heartbreaking when they are not and the influence isn't good. And that can rip you apart. When our children are in their 30s, and I say this from when I was in my 30s, you know, you continue to become your own person, and you're constantly changing. In fact, Morgan and I the other day were talking about this because I was saying that Morgan and Tyler, when they were teenagers, and even when they were right out of high school and they got married and everything, they were more like me. I never saw their dad in them, you know, at all. But these last years, it's like, wow, they're just like, not just like their dad, but you know, they're really in different ways, but they really take, and I don't see any of that. And you know, she said, you know, it's the influence, and you're away from that. Cause how long have you been married? 15 years? You know, that's a long time to be away from that. You become your own person. She folds her towels differently than I do, you know? I fold towels differently than my mom. And I go into her bathroom and I fold them the way that I want them to be sometimes. But you know, you just come into your own and you continue to change. And that's a very busy season. When our adult children are in those years, they're married and they have children. It's a very busy season for them. Now, just the way that I am as a mom, when my girls, they got married a year apart and they had their babies 3 weeks apart and we had the three all at once. And we were together as a family twice a week for dinner. I would cook dinner and they would come over just to help out and to be a family. And people would think, oh, I'm so much. And I thought, it's not going to last forever. I'm going to enjoy every second I can with babies, with my girls, because they're going to get, and they're busy with babies, but they weren't busy, you know? Then they move into those busy years and they're busy, busy, busy. I was busy, busy, busy in my 30s and I was too busy for my mom, you know? And she got neglected and she was sad. But because she was my mom, she didn't say anything. I mean, once in a while she'd put in a dig, but you know, it's a season in our lives. It's a hard season, but it is a season in our lives. Then when our adult children move into their 40s, I remember this with me, beginning to give mom a little bit more time, you know, because, and not so much, that more for her, not because I need it, and I don't know, maybe we're all different, and maybe this isn't making, you're not relating to any of this, I don't know. But you start spending more time, but then you move into your 50s, where I am now, I need my mom. I need my mom more now than ever. And I'm very thankful that I still have her in my life, for her to be my mom. And then, I'm not there yet, but you move into your 60s, Your mom is older and you're going to start taking care of your mom and watching out for your mom. So through every season that we have as mothers, we continue to love our children. And there's lots of joys and there's lots of sorrows too. But mother never stops loving her children. When we're younger or new moms, okay, wait a minute. That's where I wanted to go, and so I'm not going to go there. Told you this was a hard one. A mother's love never ever stops. And I think that when you are young, you know that, but it's not until you are there that you know how strong that is. Your love grows for your children. If they're 42, if they're 55, I mean, your love continues to grow, and that love, and what you want to take care of, you want to protect. As I was, I Googled a few things and some of these news headlines popped up with mothers. And it shows the strength of a mother's love and a mother's love coming out in the way of protection. And one of them said, a mother fatally kicked and beaten while protecting her child from being burned. Mother of two surprises intruder with 5 gunshots. Indiana mother loses her legs protecting her children from a tornado. Supermom, could a mother actually lift a car to save her child? What's your answer? Oh yeah, you better believe it. That adrenaline kicks in, the power of the Holy Spirit. You are going to save your child no matter what. And I tell you what, and you know that because a lot of you are my age, it doesn't change. It doesn't change. It's not just a baby. This is your child. Edna, I look at you and you have a grown children. You step in front, you take a bullet for them. You just would. I want to show you a couple of pictures because they just, ugh. This is in Israel. This was a threat, a bomb strike threat. And this is a mother on the sidewalk covering her child. I mean, just heavy. But that's who mothers are. And that's what mothers do, no matter how old the mother is, whatever season she's in. Okay, the next picture. You might have seen this. This is that last big earthquake in Japan where they dug up this mom who was covering her child. Most mothers would do absolutely anything to protect their children and sacrifice their own lives, and that never, ever changes. And you know this if you're a grandma. Grandmas feel the same way about their grandchildren. Grandmas feel, no, that's not yet. When your child has a child, it's very strange thing because it's you, it's part of you, and you feel like that child is your child, and it's very hard to explain unless you can talk into another grandma, but you feel the same way about those grandchildren. So, yeah, you can put up that next picture. This is a famous picture of a woman of seven children during the Great Depression. But I liked her face and the worry and the concern and the care, because that is a mom's face. No matter if it's the Great Depression, trying to feed her children, wondering where a child is at night, or her grown child going through a terrible time, or whatever it is, that's how a mom feels. So a mother's care and love never stops. It might get tired at times. It might be tried at times with rebellious children or children that are making really bad choices, or children who have cut you out of their life, which is probably the most painful thing that a mom can go through. But even if a mom's love tires, something happens. Something happens and it revives, and it loves again and again and again and again. It doesn't stop. And I think adult children need to know that. They need to understand that. I need to know that and understand that about my mom and appreciate her love and the kind of love she shows me, even if she tells me at age 53 to go take a sweater because I'm going to get cold, or to go to bed, or to cover my mouth when I cough, or whatever it might be. We do need to make adjustments all along in every season. And that's where the question is how do we parent adult children? You know, it is one conversation at a time. It is one day at a time. It is one situation at a time. It is what I would say in this thing I wouldn't say tomorrow in this thing, or what I would say to this child I may not say to that child. It is leaning on the Lord and trying to get his heart and his mind, because there is no one way. I can't just say, well, I never say a word and that, because maybe the Lord wants you to speak. Maybe he wants you to do something. It's not going to always look the same. So I'm not answering those questions at all, because I'm trying to figure it out too. I'm trying to lean on the Lord and hear the Lord and deal with my own thoughts and feelings and emotions and all of that, as a mom of two adult children. And, you know, there are great joys, and then there are really hard things too. I find myself constantly adjusting my thinking. It's not easy, because sometimes I'll be in a conversation and I'll say something, or they will say something, and then I just think, oh, that's different now. And I have to wait a minute, and I have to adjust. And Lord, tell me. There's so many times that Lord, I don't know how to do this. Tell me what to think. Tell me what to feel, because I'm feeling like this, and it could be wrong. So you tell me how to think. You tell me how to feel in this situation or with this particular child, because I don't know how to do this. And I seek him more now for that than I did when they were younger. Just like, how do I parent? How do I talk? Do I speak into this situation or do I not? If you've noticed with your children, they very rarely ask you for advice or for help. They just don't. I didn't with my mom. But we can still speak in when the Lord prompts us to do that. Deuteronomy chapter 4. It's verse 9, but I want to read the context. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you the statutes, the judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, and that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. So they're just getting ready to enter the promised land. They have a history with the Lord. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who will hear all the statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon him. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all our all in this law, which I set before you this day. Only take heed to yourself. Diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. And we need, as this is telling us, we need to do this one thing, and that is to take heed to the word of God and diligently keep it in our own lives. That's how we can be the best mom to our toddler, to our preschooler, to our school age, teenager, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, children, is that we give attention to, we take heed to God's word, and we follow hard after him. We are only responsible for our lives, not our adult children, as much as a mother feels it. I don't know about you, but my personality type is, I feel a sense of responsibility for just about everything. I don't know why. And so then there always comes guilt because of that. But I feel responsible, and we're very responsible when we're raising our children. Feel very, they're a reflection off of you, you know? But once they branch out, it's their choice. We're no longer responsible for that. We've put those years in as best as we could and poured into their lives. But I'm going to stand before the Lord and give an account for my life. And so I'm going to take heed to the things that he's telling me. And my life will then be an example to my children and to my grandchildren. And I'll teach them in that way, and I'll teach them any way the Lord has me to. But my life, and any of our lives, doesn't matter how old you are as a mom right now, needs to be wrapped up in the Lord and not in the children. He needs to be the consuming passion in my mind, not the worry and care of my children. or my grandchildren. So we need to continue to grow in our relationships with the Lord, which will make us better moms. And we need to remember all that He has done in our lives and press on and press forward. And it's heartbreaking sometimes when I talk to some women that they're estranged from their children, or their children have accused them or used them as the excuse for why their life is in the place that it's in and all of that. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And just know, Mom, if you're in that place, your child has a choice. They are choosing. You did all you could do. And now all that you can do now is you pour your life into the Lord. You can be consumed, with Him. Some of the things that we can do though, right now, for our children, we let them make their choices. They're their choices. And if the Lord has us speak into their lives, speak into their lives. And if He has us say nothing, then say nothing and pray. We need to not criticize or correct. The correcting days are over. I am a known corrector. You can ask both of my children. And I have had to learn. Shut your mouth, Karen. Don't correct. Don't correct. It's her choice. It's her choice. There's nothing I can do. So I need to. And we need to accept the relationship that we have with that adult child as best as we can. And the adult child tends to set the boundaries and make the relationship what they want it to be. And Mom goes with that. But whatever that is for each of you, we need to accept that. We need to pursue it as the Lord leads us to. But if there's a big stop sign there, don't blow through it. Trust the Lord. And, you know, He will lead us. We need to make those adjustments in our thinking when our thinking gets off or we don't agree or all that kind of a thing. Your grown children are not you. They are not there. As grandmas, you know, they're not going to raise their children the way that you raise them. That can be a shock to some of us. Because, of course, we raise them just wonderfully. And then they choose to do something. They're going to give them a cookie win. You know, just silly stuff and big stuff. They're not you. We need to be open and available as much as possible. And I have really appreciated this about my mom. She is the most available mom. She'll do anything, anytime, drop anything, just go and help you out or whatever you want to do. And I try to do that with my girls as much as my life will let that happen. Is just to help as much as possible, to love and to pray. That's where our influence is on our knees. And I pray more now than I ever have for both of my girls. But I mean, I don't stop thinking about them. I don't know about you as a mom. They are on my mind all the time. I can't help it. I see something. Oh, Morgan would like that. Oh, well, that was funny. Tyler would do that. You know, just all the time. And I pray for them like crazy. And we need to keep loving. Once again, we need to keep loving no matter what. And this morning, as I was in my quiet time, I'm in 1 Corinthians, and I just want to read those verses to us because it spoke to me as a mom. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. does not behave rudely, and does not seek its own. It's not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never fails. Keep on loving. Keep growing in your relationship with the Lord, but keep on loving those children. And then leave them. And those of you who do have prodigals or who have strained relationships, leave them in the very loving and very capable hands of the Lord. I was putting together a message on prodigals, and I love this quote. It's really ministered to me. It's very heavy for a mom, but Charles Spurgeon, he spoke this about his mom. He said, "I cannot tell you how much I owe to the prayers of my good mother. I remember her once praying, 'Now, Lord, if my children go on in sin, it will not be from ignorance that they perish, and my soul must bear swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold on Christ and claim him as their personal Savior.'" Wow, what a mom. That's the fear of the Lord. That is a relationship with the Lord first and foremost. And that's a heart of a mom to pray for that child and to do whatever she can for that child, but then to release and to leave them in the very capable and loving hands of the Lord. So let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would take these words and just shut out the ones that were not from you, and these words in Deuteronomy and these words in 1 Corinthians 13, that you would bring them to life in the hearts of these women. And most of them are moms, and they're all in different seasons. And you know the need that they have. You know their struggles. And you know the joys. And so, Lord, you speak to them. Encourage them, please. And help us, each one of us, to be the best moms that we can possibly be for our children. Moms that love you with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that will walk with you and obey you no matter what. And Lord, I pray that the relationship that we have with you and the love that you have poured out upon our lives, that it would just flow through to our children, and that they would see you in us, and they would want that, Lord. They would want that relationship that we have with you. Father, thank you for being a perfect Heavenly Father, and one who when you call, you equip, and that you are faithful. And so, Lord, just pray for all of the children that are represented among us, that they would have a heart to serve you, Lord. That they would stay in the truth that sets them free. Do you bless these moms and the relationship that they have with each of their children? And I pray, Lord, that you, as they go into their groups, that you would give them good discussion, that they would encourage one another as iron sharpens iron. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.